ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Let's see if this is the right verse. Is it? It is. It is the right verse. Let's see if these glasses work. They do. Okay. So we're reading from the 11th canto, chapter 18. Text 37. Nahi tasya vikalpakya. Yachamad vikshaya hata adehatat pachit kyastis pachit kyatis tata sampadyate maya nahitasya vikalpakya yachamad vikshaya hata Adehantat kvachit khyatis Tata sampadyate maya Nahi tasya vikalpakya Yachamad vikshaya hata Adehantat kvachit khyatis Tata sampadyate maya. Word meanings. Na, not, he, certainly, tasya, for the realized person, vikalpa, of something separate, from Krishna, akya, perception, ya, which perception, cha, also, mat, of me, vikshaya, by realized knowledge, hata, is destroyed, until, deha, of the body, antat, the death, kvachit, sometimes, khyati, such perception, tataha, then, sampadyate, achieves equal opulences, maya, with me. Translation, A realized soul no longer sees anything as separate from me, for his realized knowledge of me has destroyed such illusory perception. Since the material body and mind were previously accustomed to this kind of perception, it may sometimes appear to recur. But at the time of death, the self-realized soul achieves opulence equal to mine. So why don't we repeat? A realized soul no longer sees anything as separate from me. No longer sees anything as separate. For his realized knowledge of me has destroyed such illusory perception. Since the material body and mind were previously accustomed to this kind of perception, it may sometimes appear to recur. But at the time of death, the self-realized soul achieves opulences equal to mine. Self-realized soul sees everything, sees Krishna everywhere, within everything, but sometimes, due to past conditioning, the old way of thinking may appear, recur momentarily, but that doesn't stop him. In the end, he achieves success. Actually, I brought my own. I think. Lord Krishna explained in verse 32 of this chapter that all material and spiritual objects are expansions of his potency. By realized knowledge of the Lord, one gives up the illusion that anything, anywhere, at any time, can be separate from Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna has also explained, however, that one must keep the material body and mind fit for the execution, for executing devotional service. Therefore, even a self-realized soul may sometimes appear to accept or reject certain conditions or objects within this world. Such brief apparent duality of concentration upon something other than Krishna does not change the liberated status of a self-realized soul who achieves at the time of death the same opulences as Lord Krishna in the spiritual world. The function of illusion is to separate one from Lord Krishna. But the brief and occasional appearance of duality in the behavior or mentality of a pure devotee never separates him from the Lord. It does not constitute actual illusion, for it lacks the essential function of illusion, namely, the separation of one from Lord Krishna. So he's saying it only appears to be a duality. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur described the self-realized devotee as follows. The devotee of Lord Krishna does not see anything as separate from Lord Krishna and thus does not consider himself to be a permanent resident of the material world. At every moment, the devotee is moved by his desire to serve Lord Krishna. Just as those who are inclined to sense gratification pass their time making arrangements for their enjoyment, similarly, the devotees are busy throughout the day arranging their devotional service to Lord Krishna. Therefore, they have no time to act like materialistic sense enjoyers. To ordinary persons, it may seem that a pure devotee is seeing something as separate from Krishna. But a pure devotee is actually fixed in his status as a liberated soul and is guaranteed to achieve a spiritual body in the kingdom of God. Ordinary materialistic persons cannot always understand the activities of a pure devotee of the Lord, and thus they may try to minimize his position, considering him to be the same as themselves. At the end of life, however, the results achieved by the devotees of the Lord and ordinary materialists are vastly different. This point Prabhupada explains in the first canto. Very simple point. Looks like the devotees are engaged in material activities just like everybody else. Externally, the activities are the same. But their consciousness is completely different. The one time, devotees were wondering, well, how is it that a pure devotee sees Krishna everywhere? Because in Brahma Samhita, it says he sees Krishna within every atom. And so they asked Prabhupada, how is it that you see Krishna everywhere? Like, you see Super Soul everywhere. And Prabhupada said, his answer at that time for the devotees was, just like a mother, when she sees the shoes of her child, she thinks of her child. So he said, everything the pure devotee sees, he sees this is Krishna, so it reminds me. Reminds him of Krishna. It's Krishna's tree, Krishna's grass, Krishna's this and that. So Prabhupada was relating that to us because we can see that way. Then you have a nectar of devotion and nectar of instruction and Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhagavatam, everywhere, three classes of devotees. What distinguishes the Madhyam, one of the main factors that distinguishes Madhyam and Uttama, as Uttama sees Krishna everywhere. In fact, it is said, if one is Uttama, he won't preach because he sees that Krishna's everywhere and everyone's Krishna's devotee. There's nothing but Krishna, so how you can't connect everything to Krishna, it's already connected. So preaching means to connect to Krishna. You, over there, you're a devotee and you don't realize it. I have to connect you. Your money, give that to Krishna. Your property, your talents, your intelligence, connect it. That's what a preacher does, right? Connects everything to Krishna. You're disconnected, we'll connect it. But the Uttama Adhikari, he doesn't see anything disconnected. He can't see anything but Krishna, so there's nobody to preach to. That's why he doesn't preach. In order to preach, you have to see something's disconnected from Krishna. You have to see somebody's not a devotee, right? Yes, if you go out on book distribution in Mayapur, there are many people walking by, and there are many devotees. So you don't give book, you don't stop devotees. And here, take a Bhagavad Gita. This book will help you. You see the guests. They're separate from Krishna. They're not Krishna bhaktas yet. But if you're Uttama, you'll see everyone as a devotee. So then there's nobody to preach to. So therefore it said sometimes in consciousness, the Uttama, he has to at least come to the level where he makes discrimination so he can preach to those, so he can see those who need it. Otherwise he doesn't see it. So he has to start discriminating. So second class devotee, God, devotee, innocent, and demoniac are those against Krishna. He sees four classes and then makes friends. He worships God, makes friends with the devotees, and then he speaks to the non-devotees and he avoids the atheists. But Uttama doesn't see atheists or antagonistic people. Everyone's a devotee. Maybe we can't figure that out, how that could be, but anyway, that's how they see it. Right? Yes? There's only Krishna. There's nothing but Krishna. There can't be anything other than Krishna because everything is Krishna's energy. Right? So that's how he sees. Yes. So I wanted to read some things about Krishna's energy. You know the example Prabhupada has given. He gave two examples. One example was milk, and one example was a tape recorder. The milk is the energy of the cow. When you think of milk, you think cow, right? Do you? You don't think horse, right? Or you don't think automobile. You think cow. So the milk is different from the cow, but it's the energy of the cow. And the prophet said in the same way, tape recorder. Those days we had tape recorders. But same principle. He said, you hear my voice on the tape. That's me, but I'm not there. But I'm there. In my voice, sound, I'm there, but my body's in India and you're listening. So this is my energy. So Krishna's energy. Everything is Krishna's energy. It can't be separated. Material life means I have to separate Krishna's energy from Krishna, because if I separate it, then I can call it mine. If I don't separate it, I can't call it mine. And if I don't call it mine, how am I going to enjoy it? So a devotee doesn't separate it because he doesn't need to call it mine, because he's trying to give it back to Krishna. And a non-devotee has to separate it because he's calling it mine. And if you're trying to enjoy something, I say, no, that's not yours, it's Krishna's. How are you going to enjoy it? Get out of here. Don't tell me that. I want to enjoy it. Right? Isn't it? Like a preacher, he rains on everyone's parade. They're out there, it's my house, my money, my car, my wife, my family, my mind. No, it's not yours. It's Krishna's house. It's Krishna's wife, Krishna's car. So, no, don't rain on my parade. I've come here to enjoy. Right? So, when a conditioned soul comes in the material world, in order to be able to enjoy it, he has to separate everything from its connection to Krishna, and then he has to see it in connection to himself. Yes? They have to give this word mine. And mine That word mind only comes up when one is influenced by false ego. If one is not influenced by false ego, there's no mind. It's only Krishna's. And Krishna's letting me use it, but there's no mind. This is mine. That's where ego comes in. Ego identifies with mine. No ego, no mind. These are my thoughts. They're not your thoughts. They're the thoughts of your mind. You are different from your mind. No, they're my thoughts. Ego. Right? This is, my thought is me. That's ego. Identifies. You ever identify with your thoughts? Go buy an iPhone. Woo! I'm out racing down the road. iPhone 10 is coming out in November. You could start lining up now. Go line up. Camp out at Walmart. You know, you'll be the first one to get it. So then you think, yes, that's me. So you don't distinguish. Maybe that's a bad idea. No distinction. Ego says, that's me. So ego is identification. It puts its stamp. This is me, my house, my... So in order to enjoy the world, you have to separate everything from Krishna. Oh, okay, this is Krishna's. This is our temple room in a little closet, right? You know, 5,000 square foot house, and Krishna gets a little closet, right? So, yeah. We worship the God. Yeah, and you worship the God for an hour, and you worship, you know, Ahankar for, you know, the other 23, you know, with the other 5,000 square feet, right? So that's mine, and this little room is God's. Yes? Manasa deha geha yokinchum. That's not what Bhaktivinoda Thakur said. Body, mind, family, that's yours. So that's what you have to do to enjoy material life. You have to separate it from Krishna. Because if that whole house is Krishna's, that means every room is for Krishna's enjoyment. Only this one room is for Krishna's enjoyment, and every room is for whose enjoyment? My enjoyment. Yes? You agree? Whose enjoyment is that television for? Yours or Krishna's? And if you have a television in every room, then yeah. Every room for my enjoyment. Isn't it? He only enjoys it if he's on it. If you're watching him on the television, he likes it. Otherwise, no. So, we may not realize it, but what we're doing in material life is getting Krishna out of the picture. Okay, Krishna, you can stay in that room, but over in this room, yeah, this is for us. We're going to party in this room. Right? And a devotee is everything. Krishna's in every room, everywhere, every aspect of my life. I bring him in. So material life means I have to get him out of the way. Okay, I got you out of the way, but Sunday I'll come to the mandir. And that way, I don't feel so guilty for the rest of the week of pushing you out of the way, because at least on Sunday I came and gave $10 and attended Arti. Yes? You agree? An insurance policy. Go to the mandir once a week, that's your insurance, you know. Then I can go and enjoy. That's the mistake, right? So, we are learning how to see Krishna everywhere, and that way, 24/7, we can be engaged in Krishna service. And material life means how to get Krishna out of the picture. You know what you learn in university? The main thing, the foundational thing you learn? How to get Krishna out of the way. That's the fundamental principle underlying everything you learn. They call it social engineering. They're engineering you. What's the engineering? Get God out of the picture. I mean, you know, you can worship him if you want, but don't bring him to the university. Nothing to do here. There's no reason for him to be here. Although everything is his energy, we want to get him out. Excuse me, sir. You cannot get him out. He's in every atom. Sorry to tell you. You know, like, sir, you couldn't give your lecture if there was no air. Sorry to tell you, he supplied it to you. So you're trying to get him out. It doesn't work. Right? So that's why we say atheism is trying to kill God, basically. There's some nice atheists. They don't call themselves atheists. They just intellectualize God out of the picture. Well, you know, you can worship him, but you really don't need him. He's not really relevant. I mean, if it makes you happy, you think he's there, hey, that's fine. But as far as day-to-day affairs and life, he has no relevance. That's material life. Just get him out of the scene, right? somehow get him out of the scene, whether it's knowledge or action or enjoyment or whatever. Right? Now, Indians are more pious, so they know he's got to be part of the scene a little bit. If he's not, then we're not going to be successful. Right? So, when you open your shop in the morning, you get your incense out, and you worship your demigod or God, because we have to acknowledge that ultimately everything depends on him, but we're just worshiping you so we can get money. But at least we acknowledge you, that you're part of the transaction. If we're going to be successful, we have to please you. So that's better. Better than just pushing him out. We don't need him. Like yesterday when Krishna was telling Nanda Maharaj, he said, why do you have to worship Indra? What does he have to do with anything? Just, you know, you work and you get your karma. So, like, why you need God? Just go to school, get good grades, get a good job. What does he have to do with anything? It's your hard work. If you don't work hard, you're going to be a failure. So, you know, God or no God, you have to work hard. Right? Karma mimamsa. What does God have anything to do with it? Oh God, give us our daily bread. Then the communists say, did you get your bread? They come out of the church. Did you get your bread? No, sir. We're your God. We'll give you bread. We're better than God. When I became a devotee, my mother said, how are you going to maintain yourself? I said, Krishna will maintain me. God will maintain me. She said, your father is your God. He maintains you. So, my father died in 1996, and he left most of his money to my sister. Yeah, you know, she got like 90% or something. And he said, well, you know, somehow or other, I don't know how, because you don't have a job, or I don't know how you do it, but you never need money. Somehow or other, you're living. But your sister, she's not married, and I'm worried, like, how she's going to live. So I gave her all the money. So he had some realization that Krishna takes care of his devotees. Some Krishna consciousness there, yeah. Somehow or other, you're okay. But I don't know if she'll be okay. Anyway, let's read something. I wanted to read a little bit about Krishna's energies and this concept of separating. It's a very interesting concept. The material energy is described as may bina prakritir ashtadha, the eight separated energies of the Lord. But although the eight gross and subtle material energies, namely earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, are stated to be bina, separate from the Lord, actually they are not. As fire appears separate from wood, and as the air flowing through the nostrils and mouth of the body appears separate from the body, so the Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of God, it appears separate from the living being. But is actually separate and not separate simultaneously. This is the philosophy of Achinta Bheda Bheda Tattva. Achintya means inconceivable. It is achintya, inconceivable. Beda abeda means the same and not the same. Everything is the same as Krishna, but it's not the same. All right, make up your mind. Is it the same or is it not the same? No, it's the same and not the same. No, I'm confused. Just tell me, how could it be the same and not the same? It must be either the same or not the same. Explain. Therefore, achintya. Yeah, you don't worry if you don't understand. You're not supposed to. It's achintya. It's not our experience that someone's the same and different. So, maya tatam idam sarvam jagadavyaktamurtina. In my jagadavyaktamurtina, I pervade everything. Krishna says, maya tatam idam sarvam, my jagadavyakta. I'm everywhere, but I'm not everywhere. So how do we understand that? Krishna's, what time is it now? Krishna's milking the cows now, right? 8 o'clock? Milking cow time? Or he's already finished milking? Now it's breakfast time? Something like that. Okay, Krishna's having breakfast now with his cowherd boys. All right. But you just said he's everywhere. A devotee sees him everywhere. Yeah, he is. Jagaravyaktamurti, in his unmanifest form, through his energy. He's everywhere. So, you know, so many people say, God is one. And we're like ready to get out a hammer and smash him in the head. Are you Mayavad? How can you say that? And it's true. We can say, you are right. Halfway. You got it halfway. And we'll fill in the other halfway. So it's not like we have to argue with them. We just say, you got it half right. God is one. We agree. And different. It's right there. Bhagavad Gita, Maya Tatamidam Sarvam Jagadavyatkamu. It's right there, it's the verse. By me, I'm in everything and I'm not in everything. I'm doing Leela, I'm in everything, but I'm also doing Leela. So I'm not really, but I am, but I'm not. Like that. So that's okay. God is one, no problem. As long as you understand, he's simultaneously not one. Then you're okay. Sometimes when people say that, I say, yeah, you got the kindergarten understanding. Would you like the PhD understanding now? Maybe not that graphic. I say, well, you got the beginning, but it goes much higher. Are you interested in learning, you know, where it goes from there? Because this is just the step one. There's three steps. You got step one. Are you interested in the bewilders people? Because they've never heard step two and three. This is the philosophy of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, propounded by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. According to the reactions of karma, the living being appears separate from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But actually, he is very intimately related with the Lord. Consequently, even though we now seem neglected by the Lord, he is actually always alert to our activities. Under all circumstances, therefore, we should depend on the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus revive our intimate relationship with him. Oh, this is a nice one. Very simple statement. This is from the seventh canto. The difference between a devotee and a non-devotee, or asura, is that a devotee knows that Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that everyone derives power from him. So you believe in God, you believe everything comes from him, you're a devotee, some kind of devotee. Pretty simple, right? Prahlad, where do you get your power from? Same place you do. From Vishnu. Vishnu! Ah! So what was Hiranyakashipu's program? To destroy Vishnu. Get God out of here. Why do I need to get God out of here? That way I can become God. As if God's, you know, people are worshiping God, they're not worshiping me. So, you know, we look at Hiranyakashipu and go, oh yeah, big demon. You know, I've got nothing to do with him. No, we have the same mentality. I'm a devotee, yeah. We're also, you know, sometimes trying to move God to the side this way or that way. Yes? Vidyananda Maharaj once gave a funny example. He said, so, the teenage boy comes over to his girlfriend's house. You know, so the father's there reading the newspaper. So they say, she says, Dad, we're going to go up to the bedroom. He goes, no, you're not going to the bedroom. Just stay down here. You do whatever you want. He knows to go to the bedroom. That's not good. He'll be alone in the bedroom. He says, no, you can't go to the bedroom. He says, stay down here. Do whatever you want. Don't mind me. I'll just sit here and read the newspaper. Right, so fun's over, right? The father's there. You can't do what you want to do because what you want to do, he's not going to let you do, right? So now the daughter and the boy are like, oh, no. Like, you know, the party's over, the father has ruined the fun, right? If we can just get rid of the father, then we do whatever we want, right? So, what's the example? Father is Krishna. So, we want to do whatever we want, anything sinful, and enjoy. And so, in order to enjoy, want to be sinful. You don't want God sitting there. That would ruin the fun. Because God's saying, don't do that. And you want to do it. So, material life means, if I can get him out of the picture, then I do what I want. And in Gita, Krishna uses the word kamakarata. Shastrim vidim utsrija vartate kamakarata. Kamakarata. Kamakarata means whimsical. Now, what does whimsical mean? Right now, I feel like doing this, so I'm going to do it. A half hour later. No, I don't feel like doing that anymore. I feel like doing this. That's the definition of whimsical. It's just like whatever you feel like, you do. Right? So, Krishna says, yashastra vidhim, the vidhi, the rules of shastra, yashastra vidhim utsrija. Utsrija means give it up. When you give up shastra, what do? If you give up injunction of shastra, which says, pravittim cha, nirvittim cha, do this, don't do that. That's what shastra says. Shastra means weapon, and shastra means control, what controls you. So, if you give up shastra, then it means whimsical. Now, do whatever you want. There's no rule, no regulation, right? So, material life is pretty whimsical. You agree? Yeah, just like you feel like, hey Prabhu, what do you feel like doing today? I don't know. What do you feel like doing? It's all about what do you feel like doing? Isn't it? It's Friday night. What do you want to do tonight? You want to go here or you want to go there? And then you think what you want to do, right? You don't think, well, let's look up Bhagavad Gita and see what we should do, you know. Right? So, kamakarta means, what do you feel like doing today? I feel like maybe I'll go bowling. How's that sound? Sounds good. Yeah, let's do that. And then the devotee comes along. Prabhu, what verse is that? What are you doing today? I'm going bowling. What verse is that? I didn't read that in the Gita. Can you show me? I missed that verse. Is that in the 19th chapter? A lot of devotees have a 19th chapter, you know, for all the things we do that aren't in the Shastra. I go, you know, where's that verse? Haven't read that one yet. So, Shastra or whimsy, one or the other. So, if you want to be whimsical, you don't want Shastra because then that's just like, no fun. I can't have any fun. So if I can move God out, you know, it's like the Father, you know. I'll just sit here, you know, I won't bother you. No, we can't hug and kiss because the Father's there. So I can't do what I want to do because the Father's there. So if I could just move Krishna out, then I could do what I want to do, guilt-free. But the Father's there, I'm going to feel guilty. I know it's the wrong thing, right? Which, of course, is very good for devotees, that Krishna's there. If you feel guilty because you're about to do the wrong thing, that's great. You should feel guilty. And if you don't, something's wrong with you, right? So I could just block Krishna out of the picture, guilt-free. What do they say about food that's good for you, that tastes bad for you? It's guilt-free. Something like that. Anyway, I'll read one more and then we can have a little discussion, questions. Srila Jiva Goswami has given the example from the Puranas. Yat pasyati tat tvanu raga tishayena jagadana mayam lubdaha kamukaha kamini mayam itivat hare shadiram. Because of a greedy person's obsession with money, wherever he goes, he sees an opportunity for acquiring money. Similarly, A very lusty man notices women everywhere. In the same way, a pure devotee should see the transcendental form of the Lord within everything, since everything is an expansion of the Lord. And then he quotes the verse of Bhagavatam, which explains exactly what we're talking about. This is from the Chatur Shloki of Bhagavatam. No, he doesn't quote it there, but you know Chatur Shloki, Aham Eva Sameva Agre? What does that verse say? Nanyat Yat Sarasat Param, whatever, Paschad Aham Yat Etascha, Yo Vaishisheta Sosmiham, whatever you see is me. There's only me, and there's nothing but me. It was only me before, it's only me now, and it's only me after. That would make a nice song, right? I think a devotee did a song like that. Everything you see is me. Brahma, it is I, the personality of Godhead, who was existing before the creation when there was nothing but myself, nor was there material nature, the cause of the creation. That which you see now is also I, the personality of Godhead, and after annihilation, what remains will also be I, the personality of Godhead. So, the title of today's class is Everything You See is Me. You can't hide from Krishna. So, any questions, comments, arguments, debates? Yes. You'll have to become one to know the real answer. He's asking, if Krishna says the material world is a perverted reflection, well, I guess the question is, does he see that? Well, you can expand that concept, and obviously there are people who aren't engaged in Krishna service. They're non-devotees. They're materialistic people. Does he see that? No. He only sees Krishna. There's only, you know, that's real oneness. That's all he sees. It's just Krishna. There's nothing but Krishna. There's only Krishna. There's no duality. Material consciousness is duality. So he doesn't see duality. There's only Krishna. And we see duality. Okay, it's a perverted reflection. Here's a devotee, non-devotee. But the higher stage doesn't see that way. There's only Krishna. Because that's the reality. You know, like you could say, there is no material world. Because it's a state of consciousness. You know, the demons are in Vrindavan. They're trying to kill Krishna. Are they in Vrindavan? No, they're not. Because by consciousness, they're in the material world. So even though physically they're in Vrindavan trying to kill Krishna, they're not in Vrindavan. Is a living entity in the spiritual world who thinks that I want to be separate from Krishna? No, they're not in the spiritual world. They're consciousness of the material. So if it works that way, why can't it work the other way? That in the material world, your consciousness is completely Krishna, so you don't see the material world. It doesn't really exist. You know, why preach to anybody? Because there's only Krishna. And I don't see anyone not engaged in Krishna service because there's only Krishna. So it said he has to come to the second level, but he's not really coming down to the second level. He's coming down to make that distinction. So he has to, it's not that he doesn't see everything in relation to Krishna, but he's got to make that distinction. This is Krishna, this is not Krishna. This is devotee, this is not devotee. But like you see sometimes with Prabhupada, occasionally he would go back into the first class. At one time, Prabhupada asked the devotees, he said, I would like you to open 108 temples before I die. So when I was a young devotee, as soon as I joined, this was there, you know, open temples. I came in 1969, and this was the mood, open temples. Book distribution, that was there, but the emphasis was more on opening temples. And Prabhupada wanted 108 temples. So this talk was probably 68, 69. He said, please open 108 temples. And then he said, I would like you to do this before I die, and then I can die peacefully, knowing that I've satisfied my Guru Maharaj by opening 108 temples, and I can die peacefully and then go to hell. It's like totally shocked the devotees. Prabhupada, you're not going to hell. We're going to hell. He said, no, no, no. said, you are devotees. You're going to Vaikuntha. I'm not a devotee. I'm going to hell. Prabhupada, if you're going to hell, we'll want to go with you. No, no. You're going to Krishna. I'm going to hell. So where did that come from? So you could say that was a uttama moment. Prabhupada, you have a senior moment. Prabhupada had an uttama moment. He went back into the uttama where everyone's a devotee but me. So he's telling his disciples, no, you're all devotees. You're going back to Krishna. I'm the only one not going. So Prabhupada had an uttama moment. So it's not that it's not there, but generally it's not employed in his service because it doesn't work. Like one time Prabhupada was speaking in Mayapur, in the middle of class he just stopped. He said something and it was a cause, Udipan, for ecstatic symptoms, and he just stopped and he closed his eyes and it's like, and we're all sitting there like, what do we do now? So after a few minutes, a devotee led kirtan. He said, we don't know what to do. It's like we're all sitting there, like looking around. Is Prabhupada going to speak? So he started kirtan, and then Prabhupada came out, and then he just ended class. So then later that day, the devotee said, did I do the right thing by doing kirtan? And you know what Prabhupada said? He said, his answer was, not you did the right thing, wrong thing. He said, I'm sorry, I don't do that often. Like, he really apologized for exhibiting ecstatic symptoms. Because that is, we are taught not to do that. As, playing the part of a second-class devotee, we're not avadhuts. We're not meant to show that because people will imitate that if we show it. And now, so anybody can show it. Not everyone can be it. So when he's playing that role, then he's very careful. But sometimes he might slip into an uttama moment or a prema moment. Or it may see that way, but he can't act on that because it won't facilitate his preaching. And it's not the example he's setting. Because he's setting the example now for his disciples who are second class, that this is how you act, this is how you see, go save the fallen souls and so forth. Yes, you had something? Oh yeah, Putana. How does that happen? Because Krishna sees that one good quality. Kamsa, he just merged in Brahman because Kamsa was Kamsa. But Putana, there's some like, okay, she's coming to feed me. Kamsa didn't do anything benevolent. He was just trying to get rid of Krishna. So Krishna took that one little thing. All right, she's like a mother, so we'll grant her that position. That's Krishna's mercy. You have a little something to offer, he'll magnify it. But some of those demons were, they were trying to kill Krishna. There was no devotion. So they were actually in the material world, although physically it looked like they were in the spiritual. You can go to Vrindavan and be in Maya. I mean, it's harder to be in Maya in Vrindavan, easier here. But you in a big city in a Western world, it's not that hard to be in Maya. But you could be in Maya in Vrindavan. It's possible. So it's the consciousness. Yes, sir. That, it seems to me when I was reading that, he's saying, it says in the verse, a devotee receives opulence is equal to mine, and Masaraj is saying a devotee can never achieve opulences. Well, there are two things we can say. One is that's one kind of liberation, to have equal opulences, body, Vaikuntha liberation. So the first thing I thought when I read that verse is, it sounds like they're referring to Vaikuntha liberation. But another sense, you can say a devotee even has more opulence because they have love, more love for Krishna. They have love for Krishna, and he doesn't. Well, he loves himself, but, he's jealous of Radharani because she has so much love for him, and she's relishing more. So in that sense, sometimes we say the devotee is greater than Krishna. And Krishna could bestow whatever opulence he wants on the devotee, whatever devotee needs for service, he can bestow. So, you know, it's not a competition, but it's a gift. And when you achieve your spiritual form, it's beautiful, full of knowledge, bliss. And even in Leela, Krishna's knowledge may be covered. And then Yasoda takes a superior position. So there's so many ways you could see. He may want to gift opulences on devotees for Leela that are greater than his own. Subordinates to Mother Yasoda. Now she has more power than him. He lets Radharani control him. She has more power. She's the controller of the controller. She's the attractor of the attractor of Cupid. So he lets her take a supreme position. He likes subordination. He likes it so much that, you know, he's afraid of Mother Yasoda. And Kunti says, well, that's amazing, you know. Fear personified is afraid of you, and you're afraid of Mother Yasoda. It doesn't make sense. But by the Yogamaya potency, that enhances love, so he accepts that inferior position because he's all about rasa. He's not about power. You know? So by taking that subordinate position, giving more power to Yasoda or Radha, or coward boys sometimes defeat him. So now the coward boys are stronger than Krishna. I like that. He likes that. So he'll. The main thing is whatever helps rasa, that's what he'll do. So, yeah. Why not? And Prabhupada spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. Look at it. Prabhupada spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Krishna came, spoke Bhagavad Gita, it didn't work, and Prabhupada came and it worked. So was Prabhupada more powerful? Well, Krishna decided, okay, let him do it, right? We'll give him the power. So Krishna likes it when his devotees do the things, right? So one of Prabhupada's godbrothers said, Nityananda gave Prabhupada power to be successful. So Nityananda Prabhu, if he came to New York City, you know, left, you know, just stayed on the planet till 1966 and then came to New York City, he wouldn't have been any more successful than Prabhupada because he gave all his shakti to Prabhupada. So if Krishna wants you to do some service, he could, you know, give you some of his shakti equal to his own if necessary. And he's happy to do that. Yes, you had somebody? No. You know, Krishna's not like us. Like, I'm not going to give you my power because, you know, I want to be number one. He's not interested in being number one. He'd rather be number two. Right? Or three or four. You know, we look at everything from tattva, but he looks at everything from rasa. So, you know, by tattva, it's, well, yeah, God is the greatest by tattva, but by rasa, he's not the greatest. So sometimes you have to understand things through rasa to fully understand it, because tattva is, you know, God is Atmarama. That's tattva. Okay, why is he running after other men's wives if he's Atmarama? That's rasa. Because he is not complete unless he can have that love. And those other men's wives, that's his own form, his own energy. So he's still Atmarama, even though he's running out. It's his own self. He's dancing with himself. So in the, you know, in that tattva, he's Atmarama. But if you don't want to go that way and just say why, say because rasa for him is everything. So, you know, this whole idea, God is self-satisfied and he's hankering. Like, it doesn't make sense. But when you understand rasa, that's God. He's hankering for love. And the easy explanation that Prabhupada gives is, do you want love? Are you hankering for love? Well, where'd you get that propensity? If God doesn't have it. So he can't hanker for love. That's a contradiction of God because he's self-satisfied. That's tattva. And then we get confused because we're trying to logically figure it out. And it may not be logical according to us. But at least the logic is that
If you have it, he has it. So give him a break. Let him have it. It's okay. God can be hankering after love. It's all right. It doesn't, you know, disqualify him from being God. Because that's what people, you know, they argue. Say, he can't be God. We have to disqualify him. Find another God who doesn't hanker after that. He can't be have any hankering. So, you know, it's kind of Mayavad. You want to make everything zero? In liberation, there is nothing. No desire. Nothing. That doesn't sound like fun. You know, you go to your church and your preach says, your pastor says, and when you go to heaven, what do you do there? Nothing. There's just nothing. Hey, I'd rather go to hell if there's something to do. You know, I can't just go and do nothing. I'd go crazy. That'd be worse than hell. Right? So, you know, this whole Mayavad thing is such a impersonalism. It's like, if you put someone in solitary confinement, sometimes they go crazy. I heard a story of one person tried to kill himself so he could get out and into the hospital. Like damage himself, bang his head, or at least get out of, he's going crazy, get out of solitary confinement. So he could at least go in the hospital and be with people, social. So, you know, when you go to heaven, there's nobody, there's nothing, you don't have a body, you just exist. Anybody want, we have any volunteers for going? You know? So the people, they don't think. They think, oh, that's going to be nice. It's going to be blissful. It's not going to be nice. You're going to want to leave. Yeah, it's nice for a while, you know, a little relief. You know, imagine you go on vacation somewhere, some beach resort, right? And you're in a nice hotel, coconuts, you go to the beach every day, you know, no phones, no computers, you know. And after like 2 weeks, you're like completely bored, you know. What do we do here? You can't do anything here. You just exist. Just exist on the beach. You can't read a book. You can't cook. You can't do anything. You'd go completely crazy. So that's what they're offering as the liberation, impersonal liberation. And they're not thinking. They're like, why would you want that? And as Prabhupada said, Arura Krishna Param Padam Tada Padantyado. Yushmad Angraya. So they can't stay there because they're living beings, and living beings want to do something. They have desires, so they can't stay there. So yeah, the vacation was nice, but yeah, after a few weeks we got bored, there's nothing to do, you know, just we got tired of walking on beautiful beaches, and you know, like how long can you do that? So we wanted to do something and there was nothing to do. They wouldn't let us do anything. So we came home to do something. Right? And so what did Prabhupada say? So they fall from Brahman and then they come back and they open up hospitals and do mundane welfare work. So they have to do something. And they're in the mode of goodness. So they do some sattvic activity. They want to be engaged. Crazy, huh? Foolish. Okay. So we should end here? Okay, we're going to end. Prabhupada has saved us from merging in Brahman. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gopremanandi Hari Hari Bo. Gauranga Nityananda. Sisi Radha Kalachan. Damodar.